Father, I thank you, Lord, as always, each time we come together in the message of the Lord. We ask that the Lord be glorified, and the people be edified, and that the light from your word will shine into our hearts and bring revelation, knowledge, and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good morning again. Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm getting to today's lesson now. Today's lesson. What is God's testimony and the angel's report of you? You know, what is it that's going on? What is God saying? What is Jesus? What's heaven saying about you? You know, so, you know, let's just exhort one another. And why is this important? We'll find out. You know, one time, you know, Jesus himself, you know, he spoke to the disciples. He said, look, it isn't what people say about you that matter the most, but what God is saying, you know, what God says about you. Never mind the honor of man and so forth, you know, but the honor of God, you know. And he said, look, if you will serve me, John 12 and 26, then follow me. And never mind what others say about you, but you should pay attention what God is saying. And he said, look, if you serve me right, my Father will honor you, you know, and we want the honor of man. But we want to know, what is God saying about me? You know, what is his testimony? What did the heavens say? What has been written of me in the books, etc., you know, and so on and so forth. You know, let's consider, you know, that this morning. We're not just passing through, you know, this world without a purpose, you know. And, you know, some people, unfortunately, they haven't found the purpose of God in their lives. They may think they're just passing through, you know, but God has a purpose. And for those of us who have encountered the love of Christ, you know, we met him at the cross. And this song says, at the cross, when I first saw the light. When we first saw the light, what was our reaction? You know, I know how mine was, and I know how, you know, I walked with the Lord and so forth. Am I walking in the same way with God even now, or closer? A closer walk is what we need, you know, every day. But, you know, we must consider our ways. Consider our ways, the scripture says. He said, even examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, you know, we've got to consider our ways from time to time, you know. And there are some things that we want to talk about today. You know, there is a testimony, or there are testimonies of you that are being written in the books. In God's records, what is God saying about you? What do the angels know, whether they are good or bad angels? You know, what do they know about you? What is heaven's record of you? You know, one time, you know, Jesus, he sent out his disciples in Luke chapter 10, and he said, go out and do these things. And when they went out, they came back and said, Lord, of a truth, the devils were subject to us. They cried out, they came out of there. And Jesus said, well, that's good. He said, but I tell you what, that's not the best reason why you should rejoice. You should really rejoice because there is a testimony of you in heaven. Hallelujah. Your names, you know, are written in God's book, you know, heroes of faith and so forth. You know, if Hebrews 11 were being written today, will your name appear in the list? Will you make the cut? There were some people who said, by faith, we understand that these things happen. But then there were some things that we saw in the lives of many people. And some of them, and then the writer said, well, you know, time would fail me to tell you of even many more who through faith subdued kingdoms. Hallelujah. Wrought righteousness, stopped the mouth of lions, you know. Overcame the fiery furnace and so forth, escaped the edge of the sword and all these things, you know, of whom the world was not worthy. Ha! They were people that walked with God. Now, what is this walking with God all about? Well, you know, That's what this platform is all about, is, you know, how, what is your walk with God? What does God say about you? What do the heavens say about you? And so forth. You know, that's what we want to consider this morning. Every time we gather together, even like this, there is something, you know, that the Lord is even, you know, writing about us. You know, he says, look, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. So did you know that all of these times we gather together and fellowship and speak to one to another, consigned name of the Lord like this, the Lord is hearing it? Well, you know, he might even rejoice if he really hears something good, you know, and he might write something about you. You know, the Lord loves, you know, his people to be walking after his own likeness, because that's what he said from the beginning. And when we do that, and we do things that please the Lord, you know, I'll have you know that the Lord is actually happy in the heavens. Glory to God. And he'll rejoice over you and so forth like that. And he'll write it in the books. And he said, you know, that the Lord himself, glory to God, rejoicing over us. Hallelujah. The book of Zephaniah, you know, he says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee rejoice over thee, he will save you, and so forth. Zephaniah 3:17. Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy, and he will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. And when the Lord is rejoicing over you because of what he sees in you, he's got some testimony. Now we see in the days of Job, God's testimony of Job. God said concerning Job, even to the devil, have you seen my servant Job? A man that feared God and escheweth evil. A man in whom there is no unrighteousness. A heart, a pure heart and clean hands. Have you seen him? Have you considered him? The Lord, that was God's testimony of Job. And the devil, of course, that sharp mouth devil, yeah, he had something to say about it, you know, but, you know, the God's testimony about Job was, look, there's a man that feared the Lord. There's a man that will have no part of evil. Hallelujah. There's a man that walks in the integrity of his heart. And his name is Job, and he's my servant. And the Lord was proud of him. Glory to God. And the Lord bragged about him too, you know. And one time also, I mean, the Lord, you know, the voice came, you know, bragged about the Christ. You know, said, well, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. I mean, that was not only God's testimony in the heavens. He made it heard upon the earth and people heard it, you know. And twice he said, you know, many times actually it was recorded. Once coming out of the, you know, the water being baptized of John, the heavens opened up and the Lord said that. Another time, you know, people said, well, you know, it looked like it thundered and so forth around it. I said, well, this is my beloved son and so forth. And then Peter even said, look, when we were with him in the mount in the excellent glory, we heard testimony that the Father gave of him. You know, they went to the mount, which we call Mount Transfiguration in Matthew 17 and so forth. And, you know, God gave testimony concerning the Christ. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Let's consider, you know, that testimony for a bit, you know. And when the Lord said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, Matthew 3:17, you know, one place where he said it, Matthew 17:5 is another place where he said it. This is the one that Peter said when we were in the mount in the excellent glory, heard the voice and so forth. You know, so in Matthew 3 and 17, and Matthew 17 and 5, when the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, what was the reason why the Lord gave, the Father gave that testimony of the Christ? Why was he well pleased? Now, in the, you might argue that, you know, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, the Lord had done a lot of things. So let's leave that one alone. But in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, Christ hadn't done anything that we know about. You know, maybe once when he was age 12, we heard of him, you know, when he stayed behind, when the parent, you know, Mary and Joseph went somewhere and he was in the company and stayed behind and was talking with the philosophers and doctors of law and doctors of theology and so forth. They found him later, 3 days, and say, "Well, don't you know that I should be about my father's business?" I was age 12. And after that, he went home, subject to them. We heard nothing more till he was about 30 years old. All that time, we don't know what he did. You know, we don't know what, you know, was going on because he wasn't revealed to us. And God suppressed that information. You know, so we can assume that there were really anything going on too much that God wanted us to know about, because God had to wait for him to come out, you know, be 30 years old to be a full rabbi, and also, you know, to, you know, come and be baptized, you know, and all of that, receive the Holy Spirit, the, you know, vividly. Of course, he already had the Holy Spirit, you know, but God demonstrating all these things that we ourselves also need to experience. And then the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He hadn't done any miracles in John, I mean, Matthew 3. He was yet to start his ministry. As a matter of fact, after that, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And then he came out after that, you know, according to Luke chapter 4, he went into the synagogue, took the temple, I mean, took the book of Isaiah and read the place, you know, where it was written of him, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." So at that time, getting that testimony, he hadn't even done any miracles. So may I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, today, that today's lesson is not necessarily about miracles that you do, you know, and then so forth, you know, because Jesus hadn't done any miracles. We don't know anything about it. And yet the Father was pleased with him. And why was the Father so pleased? Well, number one, Jesus looked like him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, you know, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto us," you know what I mean, "unto the fathers by the prophets," and so forth, "has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed to be heir over all things, and who, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person." Hallelujah. So Jesus looked exactly like the Father. You know, it was the express image. Father looked at him, liked what he saw, said, "Now that's my boy." And he was 100%, you know, submissive already to the Father. We can read that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. So God was pleased with him, you know. And so the pleasure that we need to give to God, so that he can testify this kind of testimony about us, is what we want to discover today. What is God saying about you? Can God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? Can he say, "This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased"? I mean, can he say? Well, you know, we need to hear that. Praise the Lord. You know, it's not what others are saying about us that really we should care about, but what is God saying? Let's look at some of the other places where God said one thing or the other about somebody in the Bible. You know, in Genesis chapter 18, you know, verse 19, you know, God said something about Abraham. You know, he said, "Look, I know him." Well, does God know you? Of course he knows you. But what is he saying about you? You know, that's the question. Can he say something like this that he said of Abraham? "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." You know, and so on. You know, said, "I know Abraham. I know what he's going to do." Now, I pray that that will be said of me, and that will be said of you. And the Lord can say, yeah, I know him. He's going to bring up his household with gravity, you know, and command everybody to follow the Lord. It's not going to be a one of them that he will leave behind. Bring them along with him. I know him. Yeah, you know. So that's what God said about Abraham. Can he say that of you? And, you know, Abraham had testimonies of the Lord like that. And it was a good thing. The Lord even also said, you know, of him in Genesis 22 and verse 12. You know, he said, now I know that you fear the Lord. Well, because when the Lord told him to offer up Isaac, you did it almost. And then when he took up the dagger to strike the boy, angel of the Lord called out to him and said, Abraham, withhold your hand. And the Lord said to him, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. You know, well, wasn't exactly his only son, but that's the one that the Lord chose. And Abraham, you know, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord gave that kind of testimony, you know, about him. There are also other things, you know, either God spoke it directly or it was written of people in the scriptures. Enoch was another one. You know, Genesis chapter 5, this was written of him. Yeah. We don't know what God spoke directly, but at least it was written of him. He said, look, this man, he walked with God. And he was not, because God took him. And later on in Hebrews, we found out that the reason why God took him was because he pleased the Lord. And we're told that, well, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Enoch had this testimony, you know, that he pleased God. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that was God's testimony of Enoch, was that he pleased the Father. And God took him because he pleased him. You know, even as it is written, you know, in Genesis, that he walked with God and he was not, because God had taken him that he should not see death. Wow. That's a beautiful testimony. I pray that we will be like that. God will take us unto him because we please him. You know, that's what we see in the story of Enoch. And there are many others in this Hebrews 11. God wrote a lot of things about them. We saw even Noah, you know, Bible says that Noah, you know, also he was a man in his generation that also, you know, walked with God. Just like Enoch. Well, Noah didn't quite, you know, achieve the level of, Enoch, but he did walk with God also. God found him among, you know, all the people that were in the world. And in a way, you know, God had different testimonies. Enoch was one that would not see death, right? Noah was one that would be saved from the destruction of the world. God had different people to type different things and so forth. But in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, we're told that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Praise God. Well, he had some faults and so forth, but as far as God was concerned, he walked with God. You know, and my goodness. And look at what God did. God said, look, I'm going to destroy all these people from off the face of the earth because I've had it up to here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord, he spared not, you know, his family because of him. We don't know that his family exactly were walking with God. It was he that walked with God. And the generational blessing that we talked about before passed on to his household because of him. And God saved all of them, you know. everyone in his household because of Noah's walking with God. Now, what are some other people in the scriptures? And what testimony did God give concerning others? Whether God spoke it or the scriptures wrote it of them or whatever. Many, many, many of them in Hebrews chapter 11. What about Moses? In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, we're told that Moses was the meek man, or the meekest. In fact, one time, you know, Moses was saying, when God, you know, God said, look, these people, I am going to destroy them. And Moses said, look, instead of destroying them, you know, why don't you destroy me instead and preserve your people? And this man, he put himself, you know, there. He even said, the Lord said, blot me out of your book. But you got to save your people. I mean, his heart was so much to the people of God. What is that all about? I've never really understood this Moses man. I mean, from even his early days, he hated social injustice. You know, he would look at that social injustice. He saw how the Jews were being pummeled and tormented by the Egyptians. Even though he was living in luxury and everything, he didn't like it at all. It's like, look, this thing ought not to be. So he stepped in there, you know, and they told the man to stop it. When the man wouldn't stop, well, got into a confrontation with the man and eventually had to kill the man, you know, and so on. I mean, because he was fighting for social justice at the time. It was always in his heart to do something. He always, you know, cared. And even, you know, eventually he would stand in the gap. He would say, Lord, you know, if you are not going to save these people, then, you know, you can blot me out of your book. You know, and God said, no, I'm not blocking you out of my book. You know, it is the people who are reprobates that I will blot out of my book. You can read all that story in Exodus 32. He said, Lord, if you will forgive their sin, Exodus 32 and 32, forgive them. But now if you will not, and block me out of your book instead. And the Lord told him, look, get out of my way and let me wipe these people out. Moses said, no. He said, well, if you did that, why, what in the world are the people going to say about your reputation? And you couldn't keep them. You brought them out here to destroy them. And, you know, he talked with God, argued with God, and so forth, and prevailed. He stood in the gap. And the Lord wrote of him that, look, was a meek man above all the people in the earth. I mean, they tested Moses' patience many times. You know, the people would come and say, look, art thou the only one that have the voice of God? You know, we have it too. Nadab, you know, and all these people, they come out against it. You know, but the Lord, he showed them, you know, who he had chosen. You know, but the testimony of Moses was very solid. The Lord even said of him, look, if you want to know whom the Lord has chosen, you know, all these sons of Korah, Nadab, Abihu, all these people who took things into their hands to try to say, well, you're not the only one, we can do this as well. You know, and God said, well, you know, and in fact, Moses said, well, I pray and I wish that it is so. But, you know, we'll find out. You know, this Nadab and Abihu, they thought, well, how could Moses be the only priest the only one that can offer fire and sacrifice for God? We can do it too. You know, and God said, well, I'll show you. They offered strange fire and the Lord dealt with them. The sons of Korah and everybody, you know, they come up against Moses, say, look, you know, you're not the only one that can hear the voice of God. We can do this too. Of course, Moses was not the only one. You know, God wanted all of them to hear his voice, but they rejected it. And they didn't want to hear his voice. They just wanted to be rebellious. So, you know, of course, that didn't work out for any of them. In fact, the ground swallowed them up in that story, as you might know. But God, concerning Moses, you know, he was the one, you know, that, you know, God had chosen. And so we see that there are many stories in the Bible of one thing or the other, you know, of all of the people that God chose and gave testimony about. Let's move on from Moses. I have a lot more to come. What about Gideon? What was God's testimony of Gideon? Well, Gideon, in the book of Judges chapter 6, when the Lord would call him, and Gideon was a man that was minding his own business, you know, but all of them were hiding from the Midianites at the time, because the Midianites used to oppress them. So anything they did, they tried to do it in a corner. Because if they were threshing their wheat and so forth, Midianites would wait until they were done. And then when they had the pure wheat, the Midianites would come and take it from them and, you know, oppress them. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 12. And the Lord, by the mouth of the angel, said unto him, Gideon, thou mighty man of war and valor, the Lord is with you. You know, that, well, God's testimony of this man was that he was a mighty man of valor. That was God's testimony of him. And, of course, he himself didn't think that, but that was what God thought of him, you know. And there are many people like that that God thought great things of in the Bible. They didn't think anything of themselves. You know, even this Moses that we're just talking about, you know, after many years of running, you know, hiding and so forth, he didn't think anything again of himself. God said, boy, I can still use you. He said, well, I can't do it. I can't even speak. God gave all kinds of excuses, but God knew and thought that he could. When God came to, you know, this man here, he told him, he said, you are a mighty man of valor, and I've seen this fire in you, and I can use it. Because he didn't think he was anything at all. But God, you know, God thought of him great. What about Jeremiah? And Jeremiah was just a kid. And God began to, I mean, God thought great things of him. And, but he didn't think anything of himself at all. You know, then the Lord, you know, he said, look, I cannot speak. I'm a child. And the Lord said to him, say not that I'm a child, for thou shalt go in all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, thou shalt do. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. And the Lord, you know, put forth his hand, touched his mouth, and said, I put my words in your mouth today, and I've set you. The Lord put him in a place, in a position. My goodness. I've set you over nations and over kingdoms. To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. This was somebody that didn't think he could do anything. But look at what the Lord thought of him. Hallelujah. And the Lord told him a lot of things. You know, so what is God saying about you? Not exactly what people are saying. You know, and even sometimes when you think nothing, God is saying something. What about Daniel? Daniel was a man also that was greeted in like fashion like Gideon and so forth. The angel of the Lord came to him in Daniel chapter 9 verse 23 and gave him a wonderful salutation. You know, of course, Daniel wasn't thinking anything about himself as anything. But, you know, the Lord thought great things of him. In fact, the Lord said to him, you know, he said, look, at the beginning of thy supplications, thy commandment came forth. He said, and I'm come forth to show you these things, for thou art great. Beloved. You know, that was what the Lord thought of Daniel. Lord loved him greatly. You know, sent an angel there to strengthen him and show him things. Say, you are greatly beloved. Well, that was God's testimony of him. Hallelujah. You know, and the Lord told him many things, you know, because of, you know, he being greatly beloved and so on. Well, again, I repeat the question throughout this lesson. What is God's testimony of you? Let's read another place where the angel came to him again in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 19. I will read it from verse 18. There came unto me again and touched me, the one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved. So Daniel's testimony before the Lord was, you know, that he was greatly beloved. The Lord loved him. you know, and because he, of course, Daniel had integrity in his heart. You know, he wouldn't yield one way or another, and he wouldn't bow down, and he wouldn't stop praying. And, you know, no matter what they tried to do against him, stood right there with his faith and his worship of the Lord. You know, and the Lord said many good things about him. You are greatly beloved. In at least three places, he said it. We've seen it in Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, you know, and we see it also in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you today, you know, so greatly beloved. And then again in verse 19 of Daniel 10, three places at least where we heard that the Lord said to him, Daniel 9, 23, Daniel 10, 11, and Daniel 10, 19, where the Lord said of him, you are greatly beloved. Now, that was God's testimony about Daniel. What is he saying about you? What's your testimony of Daniel? I mean, of the Lord, like God gave of Daniel. Can he say of you that are greatly beloved? Well, let's find out somebody, another person like that, that God said he's greatly beloved. You know, in fact, you know, one of my favorite characters in that Bible, he's called David. And the Lord said of him in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. Let's see what God would say, you know, about, you know, David. Of course, when the Lord, you know, told, I mean, Samuel that he was done with Saul and told Saul that he was done with him, you know, the Lord would choose someone else. He said, look, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. 1 Samuel 13 and 14, saying to Saul, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Now, this was what God thought of David. Was a man after his own heart. And God will command him to be captain over his people. Now, nobody thought too much about David. David was somebody that was despised. He was a youthful guy, and his seven older brothers were preferred above him, you know. When Samuel was told to go anoint one of the sons of Jesse for king, you know, this man was not even invited. That's what I often say, that, you know, David was not even invited to what turned out to be his own coronation ceremony. And people didn't think too much of it. His father didn't think much of him to even call him there. Neither did his brothers think anything of him. In fact, when his father sent him to go and see, you know, see what's going on in the battle, the siege that the Philistines, you know, sent, I mean, you know, the Goliath and cried out against them and so forth. And when David went to, you know, see his three oldest brothers that were in the army, you know, David went, and when he got there, his oldest brother said to him, what are you doing here? I know the pride of your heart. You come out here to spy out the army and the fight and the war and battle and so on. He thought nothing of it. He said, go back home and go and tend those sheep. Who did you leave all that sheep with? You know, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. David said, you know, spy out the army, the battle. I don't see any battle going on here. All I see is a bunch of cowards, you know, cowering in the corner, you know, before just one man. The whole army, all of you, afraid of this one man. I don't see any battle here. And he said, go home. He said, well, leave me alone. And he went, talked to somebody else. You know, what's going on here? You know, if someone can take this man out, what will the king do for him? And he asked, yes, another man. He asked, yes, another man. Meanwhile, his brother said, I told you, go home. You don't belong here. You're not safe here. You know, in fact, you know, he thought nothing of him. But David was the man who eventually, you know, got the victory. Hallelujah. Now, there are a lot of things that God said, thought about different people. Let's see Jesus' testimony about some people in the Bible. We'll look first at the testimony of Jesus, you know, directly about John the Baptist. Now, In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, let's read it from, and it's something powerful connected to, of course, we know that the Lord already testified, you know, about John the Baptist, even before John the Baptist came. Behold, I sent my messenger before my face and so forth, you know. Isaiah 40 told you know, about him. But when he came, that's what Jesus had to say about John the Baptist. In Matthew 11, beginning at verse 7, the Lord would ask the people, you know, what went you out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? But I tell you, Jesus said, look, what did you go out to see? Now, it is interesting to see how Jesus testified of John, even though at this time, John wasn't really believing him. You know, because if you read it from verse 2, now, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, you know, said unto him, you know, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know, now, John already introduced Christ as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, as somebody whose shoes is not able to unlace. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one coming after me, whom the Lord showed to me, and said, if you see the Spirit lighten upon him, he is the one. And he said, he will take away the sins of the world, and he will baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. You know, and when he saw him, he said, behold, the Lamb of the world. I mean, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He already did all of that. But now, when he's in prison, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, John is now in prison because Herod got a hold of him because he said things like, look, you cannot have your brother's wife. Put him in the prison. That'll kill him and so forth. So now he's in prison. Jesus does not come to bail him out or set him free or bust him out of there or anything. Now remember, Jesus is his cousin. You know, they are second cousins, these two. Elizabeth and Mary are cousins. John, the son of Elizabeth. Jesus, the son of Mary. So they are second cousins. And John is in prison. Jesus doesn't do anything to help him out. So John is beginning to think, look, are you really the Christ? And what kind of question is that? You already know he's the Christ. You know, so he sends to Jesus, but look at the way Jesus dealt with that. Jesus said, well, here's what you need to go tell John. Go and tell him these things that you see and hear. Well, blind receive. I mean, in that hour, he probably healed some more, show it to them. You know, and then he said, well, go tell him the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, death are raised, the gospel have, you know, poor are preached the gospel. Because he did all those things that, you know, Isaiah said. He said, well, you know, John will be able to recognize the signs when he sees it. But then he drops this thing here. He said, well, I'm blessed is he. Tell John too. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Why did he say that? Because at this time, you know, Jesus discerning that John had been offended in him because he didn't come and bust him out of prison. But nonetheless, look at what the testimony of Jesus concerning John. Jesus didn't, you know, start to speak evil of him just because of that. This is a great lesson for all of us. Jesus began to actually speak marvelous things about John. He said, look, what did you go out to see? And so forth. You go out to see somebody clothed in soft raiment? No. He said, look, those who dwell in, you know, palaces and so on. You know, but what did you go out to see? A prophet? He said, yeah. And I said, look, but more than a prophet. Now that's Jesus testifying of John the Baptist. I tell you what, this one guy was not just a prophet. He was more than a prophet. Because this is he, and Jesus will bring it out. This is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. And I tell you, Jesus said, there's no one born of woman greater than he, except, hallelujah, the kingdom folks. Now, up to that point, the kingdom, you know, Jesus was yet to establish it. But he's saying that, well, you know, up to that point, John, all of the things that John did was in the Old Testament, because Jesus hadn't died. Until the death of the testator, it's still Old Testament, even though the Gospels are compiled in what's called the New Testament. A lot of things were done actually in the Old. But the kingdom, when Jesus brought it, he said those will be even greater. But look at all the great testimonies that he testified of John the Baptist. Now, what are the things that even the heavens are saying about us or you? There's a story. When I say heavens, well, let's just say the spirit realm. Let me correct that and say the spirit realm. And we know the testimony of God is in the heavens. Jesus himself said it. He said, look, you know, if you confess me before men, I also will confess you in heaven. If you deny me before men, then, you know, I will deny you in heaven. You know, so in heaven, you may be, there may be some testimony going on about you. And the Lord may be saying things like, oh, look at that man over there. Look at that woman over there. My daughter, my son. I mean, they're powerful. I mean, they're great. You know, they are testifying. They're standing up in me. You can read that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, everyone that confess me before me, you know, I shall also confess him, my father, before the angels and so forth. You know, but if you do not confess him before men, if you deny him before men, well, Jesus also said, well, you know, I myself might just very well deny you before the angels and my father. You know, so there is some testimony going on in heaven. It may be good and it may be evil. I mean, a bad report about you. Let's read another version. You know, that's Matthew 12, 32. Let's read another version in Luke 12 and 8. You know, Jesus said, and I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. So what is Jesus's testimony before the angels of God? In heaven. But he that denies me before men shall also be denied before the angels of God. So Jesus is there, you know, giving some kind of testimony. Hey, have you seen my daughter such and such? And the angels say, yeah. I said, well, you know, they got a testimony. They got my word in their mouth. You go down there and see to it. And, you know, that it happens what they are believing God for. And see how the Lord said, see how they're standing up before men concerning me, even against all the ridicule and disgrace and shame. See how they are standing up for my name. I said, absolutely. I said, well, here is their seat right here. I got a seat right here for them. And he's testifying of you because you are testifying of him. Yeah, but if you deny him, Jesus said, well, I say, well, you know, who is that one? So I don't know. Deny is a strong word, ladies and gentlemen. You know, deny. One time Jesus said, well, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's denial. I never is a denial. You know, there's nothing that Jesus doesn't know. Jesus knows everything. But it's a denier. If you ever wondered what that means, it's a denier. Because by their lives, they denied the Christ. So Jesus also said, well, I also deny you. That's a denier. It's not that he doesn't know them. He knew them. He can say anything God doesn't know that doesn't exist. But he said, I don't know you. You know, get out from here. I don't know you. That's a denier. So Jesus said, well, if you deny me before men, I will also deny you in heaven. So what is the heavens, you know, saying? And what report are the angels hearing of you? And so forth. And there are good angels and there are evil angels. There are demonic spirits and so forth. They know things even in the spirit realm. There's a story in Acts chapter 19, you know, what we call the sons of Sceva. Seven sons of Sceva that decided to go, and they were exorcists. They liked to go and try to cast out devils and so forth, but they didn't know what they were doing. So they go up here, they see one man possessed of the devil, and say to him, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of the man. And the devil, you know, he said unto them, Paul, I know Jesus, I know, but what are you? Who are you? Now, that's the testimony of the devils concerning Jesus. Testimony of the devils concerning Paul. But what about these people? The devil said, we don't even know you. You know, one time, Jesus, when he wanted to cast out, the devil said, thou son of God, thou son of God, had thou come to reveal us or torment us before thy time? The devils knew who he was. And the devil said, shut up, come out of there. You know, and they knew who he was. They knew who Jesus was. They knew who Paul was. But who are these people? You know, these people don't even have any authority in themselves. They're trying to say Jesus, whom Paul preaches. What about you? Are you preaching the Jesus yourself? And the devil, he jumped on them, got the mastery of them. You know, so both the devil and angels and devils and even God and Jesus and heavens, they have testimony of people. You know, and but what kind of testimony are we getting? And what is your story that is being written of you, that is being said in heavens concerning you? Hallelujah. You know, now, let's talk about some other things, you know, that Jesus says about your name. You know, in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Well, here's something that Jesus said. Remember that in the, you know, every one of these churches, Jesus would always give a promise if they overcame, you know. And, you know, he's talking here to the church in Sardis. And he said, look, he that overcometh, Revelation 3 and verse 5. Now, these Sardis people, they were full of hypocrites, you know. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. They were make-believe. You know, there are people like, you know, clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is dirty. Make the whitest sepulchres clean on the outside with marble and headstone and everything, but inside full of dead men's bones, Jesus said. And so there were these people in Sardis, you know, they're putting on a show, but their life had nothing really. You know, God can see through all of that facade. And so he said, look, you have a name that you are living, but you are really dead. You know, you're putting on a show. It's like that fig tree in Mark 11. The fig tree had an appearance. It had leaves and everything. And from afar off, it looked green and luscious and things like that. And looked like it would have had fruit. But when Jesus came there, he had nothing. And Jesus said, look, you know, I know you. I know where you stand and so forth. But he gave them a promise. Well, I've got a few people even there that have not defiled their garments. And if those that overcome, they shall walk with me in white. They are worthy. And he that overcometh, the same. I'll be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from my book, but I will confess his name. Now, will Jesus confess your name before the Father and before the angels? Well, it's right here. If you overcome, he said, I'll do it too. Praise the Lord. So Jesus, you know, he has testimony to give concerning you. But what is it like? What's he saying about you? Depends on what you are saying about him here on earth too. You know, he says, look, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us, you know, and so forth. You know, but let's read also Luke chapter 9 and, you know, verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. This is another way of putting it. This is the second time Luke is writing about this now. He wrote it in Luke 12. He's now writing it here as well. You know, he says, you know, whosoever, right, will be ashamed of me and of my words, of him also will I, you know, be ashamed. Of him shall the Son of Man also be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father, and of his holy angels. You know, ashamed. So if we're ashamed of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, this thing may have eternal consequences. Because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you too. If you testify of me, I testify of you. And then if you don't, well, if you are ashamed of me or you deny me, then I'm also going to deny you. So what kind of testimony is going on, you know, with you and so on? Huh? What kind of testimony? Praise the Lord. So that's the question. What is the Lord saying about you, even in the heavens? You know, and what are the angels also saying about you? And what are the devils also saying about you? And that's a question I said at the beginning that I'm going to ask throughout this lesson. I'm asking that question multiple times. You know, so now let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's Paul, you know, cautioning Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel and of the testimony of the Lord. Because if you're ashamed, you know, that has consequences. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, of his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us, you know, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ, even before the world began. Now, we know that, you know, if we suffer with him, if we testify of him, you know, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, now this, I cannot stress this enough, you know, if we deny him, he also will deny us. But if we are testifying, if we are testifying of him, then he's going to be testifying of us as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, you know, Paul saying the same things again to his son in the faith, Timothy. He said, look, you know, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. You know, so the denying is a testimony of, well, I don't know him. So is that the kind of testimony we want? No. We want the testimony where I say, yeah, that's my beloved son. That's my beloved daughter. And again, the Lord, he's watching over, the angels are also watching over us, you know, and waiting for what you yourself are saying concerning the Lord. I love this Psalm 103 verse 20 that I speak about from time to time. Bible says, praise ye the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, you know, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Well, so those angels also, they have their orders. You can't really command angels to do anything. The angel will just tell, I have my orders. You can't do it. You know, you cannot do it. Joshua one day, he saw, you know, an angel of the Lord. He said, look, you know, and if you come up against Joshua or you come into Joshua's realm with a sword in your hand, Joshua's ready to engage. So Joshua, you know, says to the man, look, you know, what's your business? Tell us. You can read that story in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass that Joshua, when he was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw a man that stood against him with a sword drawn in his hand. So Joshua is ready to engage. You know, if you pull out a sword, Joshua doesn't mess around. He said, look, tell us your business. Are you here for us or for our adversaries? Tell me. And the answer of the man will surprise you. He said, no, there were two questions or two parts to the question that Joshua asked. And the answer was no to both of them. Are you for us or for our adversaries? That's two questions or two parts to one question. And the answer was no. You know, I'm not here for you. I'm not here for your adversaries. I have my own orders. I am here as a captain of the host of the Lord. You know, so it's not about you or them. I've got my own orders. Ladies and gentlemen, some people try to command angels and stuff. You can't do it. The only way you do it is to speak the word of God. When you speak, that's the only thing that they respond to. They have their orders, you know. When you speak the word of God, say, hearkening to the voice of his word. When they hear that word out of your mouth, my goodness, they go into action. And the Lord say, yeah, see to it. You know, because your words are ringing out a testimony and it's being echoed in heavens. A testimony being written about you, you know, and so forth. So, what is the testimony of God concerning you and me? I'll give you a personal story quickly of when I know one time that the angel of the Lord, you know, testified of my name. And I prayed to the Lord. I mean, do the angels know my name now? You know, I mean, what kind of walk do I have before God now? You know, and that's why we sang that song in the beginning, Take Me Back. You know, it's a long story, but I will abbreviate it. And you've heard it. Some of you have heard it before. There's one time that a sister was, a young sister many, many years ago. Her family were preparing her to sacrifice her to devils. And they took her to this synagogue of Satan. And they were preparing her for sacrifice. And I saw her there. She was in chains. They had scraped her memory. She had no recollection of anything, and we couldn't set her free. One day, and you may have heard this story before, one day in the night, there was an angel that appeared to this woman that was captive. They were preparing her for sacrifice, and it was right around, sacrifice was around the corner. She had chains in her hands, in her ankles, around her waist. They had shaved her head. She looked like a monkey and they put her in chains. I saw it with my own eyes. I even tried to help her get out of there. They threw me out of that place. Say, next time you come here, we're going to have your head. They showed me the machetes too. I saw those gates, big gates. Cut a long story short, the day the angel of the Lord appeared to her, you know, she would later tell this story standing in front of me in my dorm in the university, which was, you know, 100 and something miles away. The angel appeared to her, and the chains fell off her hands. It was almost like Acts chapter 12. You know, the chains fell out of her, and she was in a trance, or dazed. You know, so somebody that couldn't even remember me when I was standing in front of her, although we were in the same fellowship before, they captured her and scraped her memory. And the gates opened up to themselves. And the angel beckoned to her, follow me. Incredible story. It was a true story, though. This is not one of those fiction things. Took her all the way to the main road. She was about miles, you know, because this jungle place, you know, where, I mean, this synagogue of Satan was in the jungle. Put her in a public transport, is what we call it in Nigeria then. Gave instructions to the driver where to take her and gave her instructions where to find me, you know. And she didn't even know who I was when I was standing in front of her. She had lost memory. So how in the world would she even know where I was? But the angel gave instruction to the person carrying her. You know, transportation fee was already paid. Gave instruction where to bring her. This was from Lagos to Ibadan. Those of you that know Nigeria. This thing was happening somewhere in Lagos. This man was going to bring her to Ibadan. And tell the man where to take her. You know. And my dorm. Independence Hall. You know. Such and such. Gave her the instructions. Where she would find me. And she would come up. You know. I was on the third or second floor. Come up there and knock on such and such a door. You know, and then when she knocked on the door, she was standing right there when I opened the door. And, you know, the Lord timed it perfectly. I wasn't in class. Usually I'm in class. And I was the only person in the room that day. And even though I had three or four other roommates. And when she knocked this door and I opened, I almost fell over. It was like I'd seen a ghost. Because the last time I saw her, I changed all around her. She didn't remember who I was. said, how did you get here? And she told me this incredible story that I just told you. You know, and later on in life when I would reflect on that, and I said, wow. The angel of the Lord knew who I was, knew where I was, sent this thing, this car on an errand to bring this girl there, told her where I was, sent her, gave her the door to knock on, and so forth. And when I would reflect on that, sometimes I would say, Lord, what is my testimony now of you? I mean, from you. Can I say now that when the Lord needs some person to go into action, that he will send unto me, like he sent unto Joshua and all these people, and Gideon, and say, you are the man of mighty war, and so forth, mighty man of valor. Can he say of me, like he said of Daniel, thou art greatly beloved? I mean, do the angels have your name on their lips? You know, and so forth. And they need somebody. Are you the go-to man? Or are you the go-to woman? You know, this is why we sang the song at the beginning. Take me back, Lord. And if you've never been there, you can be there too. And as we close today's lesson, well, we're going to pray again, like we prayed at the beginning, in case you were late coming into the room. We prayed at the beginning, you know, if you've experienced a walk with God before, where the heavens knew your name, the angels knew your name, you know, your name was everywhere. The devils even knew your name. Well, what is it like now? That's what we're going to pray about. I want my testimony of the Lord to be, like he said, of Abraham. I know him. I want my testimony to be, like he said, of Enoch. Well, he pleases me, so I'm bringing him up here. I want my testimony to be, like he said, of Noah. He said, Noah also found favor before the Lord, and the Lord gave him tremendous power over the angels. Over the animals and stuff. On and on and on, all these stories we have told. A testimony concerning David, a man after my heart, the Lord said. What is the testimony of God? And what is the testimony of the angels? Do the angels think of you as someone that is speaking the word? They are listening. And one time the Lord showed me that it was like a parable. And he said, the parable of the kingdom of heaven is like a parable. And he showed me the parable. And the Lord Jesus shows me all these parables sometimes. You know, and it was like, you know, some angels were going back and forth, very active and so forth. And some angels were idle, just bored, you know, hands folded and so forth. I'm like, why are these ones, you know, excited and going and dashing back and forth like lightning? Why are these other ones standing around bored? You know, and the Lord made me see, drop this scripture, Psalm 103, verse 20. And he said, well, there be those who are speaking my word. And these angels are hearkening. And they are moving because they are speaking my word. These are the angels assigned to them to walk on their behalf. And when they speak my word, they go into action. Now, but what about these ones that are bored? I said, well, those guys to whom these angels are assigned, they are not speaking my word. So these angels are bored. They have nothing to do. Ladies and gentlemen, speak his word and let the angels, you know, go into action on your behalf. Let the angels also know and testify of you, because you are also testifying of the Lord here and now. And Jesus said, I will testify of you. The angels will know who you are. You know, I'm going to tell it, because you are telling of me here. I'm going to tell them too. See that girl right there? That's my daughter. And she will not back down. No matter what they throw up against her on our job and everything, our neighbors, our friends, mockery, she's standing right there for my name. You know, and I want you to know who she is. I'm telling you, that's her seat right there. And the Lord will testify of you. Now let's pray, ladies and gentlemen. That's today's lesson. What is his testimony of you? And what are the angels reporting of you? And the Lord said, you didn't say this one. And I'm going to say it now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to say it now. in the book of Zechariah, we see where the angels went back and forth. In the book of Zechariah chapter 1, you know, let me read from verse 9. It said, "Then I said, Lord, who are these?" And the angel that talked to me said, "Well, I'm going to show you who these are." And then he showed me some things, and, you know, and they went, you know, throughout the earth, and they came and so forth. And then there were angels that went back and forth and came, and they reported, and they said, "Behold, the earth is still and all is at rest." Now, God has these angels that he sends out, and they check it out, and they come and report. Now, what report are they giving concerning you? Are they saying all is well, and they are believing and speaking the word of God? They're saying, "Well, we don't know about that." You know, what report are the angels giving about you? You say, "Well, but I tell you what, in the realm of the spirit, here's really what the angels say about you. They're saying, all is well." Hallelujah. All is well concerning you in the name of Jesus. May that be the testimony, you know, and that all is well by your faith. That's how it is. You know, because you're standing your ground, you are not giving in, and you are overcoming the world by your faith. And the angels come and say, "Well, all is well. Praise the Lord." Now, you know, Bible says there's a cloud of witnesses. You know, everything we see, I mean, everything we do and everything we, you know, whatever, the Lord is seeing, and so are the cloud of angels and witnesses. So when you are in the corner thinking nobody is seeing you and doing something, you know, stupid, that doesn't glorify the Lord, the angels can see that too. You know, so can the Lord. You know, and this song says, "He sees all I do. He hears all I say. Oh, my Lord is watching all the time." You know, we used to sing that when I was a young man. But now I want to pray over the room. The angels that are going back and forth, Lord, may they speak comfortably concerning the children of God. Say, you know, comfort ye, my people. And the Lord also said, "Yeah, I've seen your works. You know, I've seen your faith and I've seen your works. And I've seen how that you will not deny my name, even though you are in the midst of the synagogue of Satan." And the Lord said, "I will give you a crown of life." And he tells the angels, "See to it." Praise the Lord. Father, I pray that we will receive testimony, you know, great and good testimony from the Lord. I say, "Yeah, you know, they're confessing my name before men. This is who they are." I'm going to tell you, angels, also, may the Lord be confessing our names in heaven for good things, because of what we are also, how we are also standing for him here on earth. Now, we who are fathers or head of households, you may be a single mother. If you're a head of household, then the responsibility is on you too. You know, can the Lord say of you, "I know him and I know her," that they will command their children after me to walk in the ways of the Lord. They will repair those altars that are broken down. And I know them. They are always there standing in the word of the Lord and bringing their children up after them in the same way. Father, may this be our testimony. May this be your testimony of us in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, restore unto us again and restore us to our place. He said, the Lord said, "I know from," you know, say, "repent, return from, I know where from whence thou art fallen." Lord, if we are falling from the place where the heavens knew our name, where the devils knew our name, where God knew our name, where Jesus was testifying of our name, grant us the grace to return. And the Lord said, "Well, you are not quite there yet, but I will help you. If you are ready, I'll show you how. I've showed you how already today," he said. "But now, I'll help you get there." May the Lord help every one of us get back there where the heavens know our name. The Lord is writing the book of remembrance, even concerning this lesson we're having here today, this fellowship. Lord, writing it down. And every time you speak a good word for the Lord, the Lord's writing it down. Every time you stand for him and don't back down from anything, don't back down from the shame and the disgrace and, you know, the things that people try to put upon you. For the Lord's sake, you take it. The Lord is writing it down. And he's testifying, have you seen my servant? Have you seen my daughter? Have you seen my son? Hallelujah, in whom I'm well pleased. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray the Holy Spirit interpret this message to everyone. And God bless your heart. Thank you for listening. Give the Lord the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.